You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Atlanta Braves with MLB.com's Braves beat reporter Mark Bowman. Mark, the Braves made, to me, one of the more surprising and interesting trades I've seen in quite a while here recently. And it looks like it might not be the last thing they do, but let's start with what they actually did. It had to be tough for them to part with Jason Hayward, who is not only a really good player, but a homegrown, hometown guy, even with the knowledge that it might have been difficult to sign him. How difficult was it for the organization to pull the trigger on a move like that?
There's no doubt there's some difficulty there. As you said, this is a kid that everyone has known, especially within the organization, since he was drafted directly out of high school and made the 20-minute drive to Turner Field that day. And, you know, he was going to be the, you know, he has been recognized as the guy who was going to be maybe the next Chipper Jones, the next face of the organization, recognized in that light since he was 18 years old. He burst on the scene at the major league level at the age of 20, made an all-star, maybe all-star team that year. Actually, was 11. Selected, voted to be a starter that year. You know, obviously he has not lived up to the expectations that maybe people would have set at that time over the next 5 years. He's still very young, still going to play the most of this upcoming season at 25. This kid has a lot of potential, and we know what he can do with the glove. He's got two gold gloves, and his attitude that he brings to the park every day is great. He's a kid that's easy to pull for, but at the same time, when you look at the economics of the game, the likelihood that the Braves are going to be comfortable offering what Jason, you know, might end up getting, you know, the $100 million plus contract next year as a free agent, they saw an opportunity to move him and fill a definite need there in their starting rotation. And I think they did this is a deal that you know, you hear, you know, every so often. This is certainly a deal that works for both clubs. St. Louis feels an immediate need. The Braves feel a definite need on an immediate basis, and also improve their future. Like you said, it's tough to say goodbye to Jason, but this deal made a lot of sense.
Hayward is a really intriguing player to me because he has not put up gaudy offensive numbers, and yet because of his all-around game is really an excellent player. He's, you know, you mentioned the defense. He's a terrific base runner. He gets on base even when he doesn't put up big power numbers or hit for average. Do you think that even as good as he is, if the offensive numbers, or even if he were the same quality player but it looked different, if he were driving in runs, if he were a high average hitter, do you think that this is this would all look different if he had put up bigger offensive numbers? I guess what I'm asking is, do you think they would have been more willing to kind of make that commitment and lock him up and pay whatever it took if he were a different kind of player and if he were more of a traditional middle-of-the-lineup big bat guy?
I do, and I remember having a couple conversations near the end of the season with his representative, and, you kind of just go back and forth, and I said, I understand the potential was there for him to get the money that he's hoping to get. You just, the one thing that would scare you away is the power really has only been there the one season. In 2012, he hit 27 home runs. He stole 21 bases. The next year, he had an appendectomy, and his face was shattered with the John East fastball. He missed a month with both of those unavoidable ailments, so his numbers weren't, you know, where you expect them to be. He had a great growth break before getting hit with that pitch. You saw that tremendous potential again. But all in all, you take last season and then this season when he was relatively healthy the whole year, he still has not matched the home run total from 2012. The power has not been there. The stolen bases, I think he's got one more stolen base over the last two seasons than he did there in 2012. You haven't seen it, the consistency that you want to see out of Jason, and I think that is why last year when the Braves decided who they were going to give the big-time, you know, long-term contract to, it was an easy decision to give it to Freeman instead of Hayward. And at the time, there were people that said, you know, look, they chose Freeman instead of Hayward. And I think they were right. If Jason had continued to do what he did in 2012, or maybe even just the first 6 weeks of the 2010 season when he caught the baseball world by storm, if he continued on those, you know, with that progression, yeah, he might have been the guy that had the long-term future here. Or maybe they would have been able to find a way to get or been more flexible, made more of an attempt to try to lock both Freeman and Hayward up. Right now, I don't, you know, they're not in a financial situation where they could do that. But here in the next couple of years, as they move towards a new stadium, yeah, they could be in that position. You know, Hayward just has not shown enough consistency at the plate over the years to warrant the kind of money that he's hoping to get next year. And there's a chance he does get it. I mean, if he comes out and has a big season in St. Louis this year, he will get it. But right now, I just don't think the Braves were a team that's been able to watch him every day. We're comfortable taking a chance of basically only getting a draft pick for him if he did not live up to that potential this year.
So let's talk about the other half of the deal and a guy that, you know, obviously I've watched for a long time in Shelby Miller, and to me a really interesting pitcher. I drew comparisons to Matt Cain when he was coming up as a potential really good two or even borderline number one starter. And it's kind of been there in fits and starts, but it hasn't been there consistently. Do the Braves think that there is a lot more to be tapped in Miller? Do they think there's a better pitcher there than he has shown, and that maybe he still could be the guy that he was projected to be a couple years ago?
Yeah, I think John Hart put it well the other day when just asked about saying, look, this is the guy. I think my question to him was basically, you know, this is the guy who could be a top of the rotation guy. And immediately he said, well, right now he's middle of the rotation, you know, with a guy that has a chance to develop into whether it's a solid number two or a potential number one. I think one thing that when you look at Shelby's numbers, you look at the beginning of the 2013 season, then he had a little bit of a rough stretch there during the latter part of the season, kind of turned it around. Again, this year there was a little and there was a couple bumps in the road there during the middle of the season. You see how he finished the season. You hear him talk about how he developed the two-seam fastball, got away from being a four-seam guy who was more of a thrower than a pitcher, and he's saying all the right things, and you get that feeling. I know we haven't got to see him pitch on a consistent basis, but he's saying all the right things, and he sounds like a pitcher, and we all know how talented he is. Now, here's a guy, if he can use that four-seamer as a weapon and pitch off that two-seamer, continue to learn how to approach hitters in the way that he did while talking to Adam Wainwright, Justin Masterson, guys that have had an influence on him during his early part of his career. If he can continue to do that here in Atlanta, yeah, he can develop into a guy who he and Julio Teheran would consider the top of that rotation over the next 4 years.
And as much as we've broken this down, to me, and I think you feel this as well, the most interesting thing about this deal is what's next. The Braves were close to a playoff spot last year, but it is now looking like maybe, you don't want to use the word rebuilding because I don't think they're tearing it up, but that maybe they have a little more eye to a year or two down the road. One, do you think that's accurate? And two, if so, what does that look like as far as the transactions they make?
Yeah, I do think that I think they are keeping open the possibility that if some of these deals that they will end up making, you know, primarily the two significant moves that they can make could be trading Justin Upton or Evan Gattis or possibly both, which I'm kind of leaning towards the latter. I think that they can gain a significant return for both. It would help them probably more for the future. Like I said, they're keeping open the possibility that they might be able to compete in 2015, but there just were too many needs within this organization. So when you step back and say, okay, well, this team's only 1 year removed from a 96-win season, you know, a division crown, I guess they had a disappointing year this year. But if you took a step back and looked at the fact that they basically had three major league-ready starters to carry into next season before they got Shelby Miller, now they have four within their system. You look at their farm system, it has been rated as one of the game's worst here this year. Now all of a sudden this week they went and they got Arodis Vizcaíno. They got Tyrell Jenkins. Both of these guys now fit into MLB.com's top 10 list for the club. You're starting to see them, like I said, address that immediate need for starting pitching with Shelby Miller, start to improve this farm system, add some arms that will have an impact over the next few years. And, you know, we all know that this team, while you want to win every year, they definitely want to have some consistency, the ability to have consistent success once they move into this new stadium in 2017. So I think that is their primary focus. If there are some moves, some of these moves bring some returns to create financial flexibility or just direct return with the players that allow them to compete next year, then fine. You know that they will. But I think the eye has to be towards replenishing that farm system and setting yourself up to win on a consistent basis from 2016 on.
If they are to do that, and if those are the kind of moves that we're looking at here, and in particular moves of Gattis and Upton, what do you think they would be looking for just as far as the shape of the talent? Is this one of those cases where it's all about as many arms as possible, or is there also going to be some eye towards getting some offensive pieces for the next playoff Braves team, whether that's in 15 or 16 or 17?
Yeah, I think they are going to have to. They feel a lot better now that they got Shelby Miller and Tyrell Jenkins. They will continue to try to add another couple arms, but as they move forward, I think we're going to see outfield as a focus. You look at their system, they've got Jose Peraza coming, a second baseman that can fill in there. Maybe at some point next year they put him on the 40-man roster. He's only got 40 games above the A-ball level, so my guess is he will not be deemed major league ready on opening day. That remains to be seen, but they feel like they have that. They obviously are set at catcher, first base, shortstop, and they've got Chris Johnson at third base, so you know they'll see what there could be some movement there or some adjustment there at some point. But in the outfield, they really do not have anything for the future. So I think that's where we'll see the next wave or the next emphasis with some of the trades they make. They will try to grab a couple young outfielders who could be in that lineup at any point within the next couple years.
All right. Well, Mark Bowman, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.